Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We get out of the studio and onto the road to find the kind of radio you don't hear so much anymore. Stories off the beaten path and usually away from the top headlines. We figure the weekend is a good time for that. Time to lean back a little, slow down, meet somebody interesting, hear what people are saying. Of course, when we're not on the radio, you can catch up with us on Facebook. Just search Indiana Weekend. And we'd love to hear your thoughts about the show, your comments, thoughts about whom we might talk with, or where you would like to hear our microphones. Our email address is, conveniently enough, indianaweekend@gmail.com. I'm John Strauss. Even in the frigid grip of winter, it's good to know that now the days are actually getting longer again. Every day brings us a little closer to the soft kiss of springtime once again. And if you're looking for something else to look forward to, consider this. Indiana is home to one of the country's best-known music festivals at a campground in the Brown County community of Bean Blossom. Bluegrass fans know what I'm talking about. The father of bluegrass, the late Bill Monroe, bought the property 50 miles south of Indianapolis. And the 47th annual Bill Monroe Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival will be held June 8th through the 15th. Mr. Monroe passed away in 1996, and the park is now owned by Dwight Dillman, who runs a family furniture business in Kokomo. His brother John is president of a separate company that supports our show, Dillman's Furniture and Mattress, based in Muncie. But as we look ahead a few months to one of Indiana's premier music events, we wanted to talk with Dwight Dillman and his son Derek, both of whom once played with Bill Monroe. I went to see Dwight and Derek in Kokomo and asked Derek to bring his guitar and Dwight his banjo. We got them to play a couple of numbers for us, but first, Derek talked about growing up in a bluegrass family.
I got kind of lucky, I guess, because he had played at a professional level, and just having him there when I got started was really a great help to me, just to learn the basic fundamentals and get started on the right foot, you know.
Is there a way to explain bluegrass music for people who aren't fans?
Well, probably the best way for them is, you know, maybe just get a Bill Monroe CD or Flatten Scruggs or Ralph Stanley or Jimmy Martin. Get good bluegrass music.
What's your favorite song? Is there a song that when you hear it makes you feel a special way about bluegrass music?
I like a lot of the bluegrass gospel songs. One of my favorite albums is Ralph Stanley's Clinch Mountain Gospel. It's got Keith Whitley singing on it right shortly after Roy Lee Sinners had passed away, and it's good. And I like anything Tony Rice does, or Ricky Skaggs, and Jimmy Martin. And
tell me about your instrument.
This is a D28 Martin. It's a 1983 100th anniversary model.
Why don't you pick it up and tell me why you like it?
Well, it's got a good action on it, which that's the height from the fretboard to the base of the strings. And it plays good, but it's still got a lot of volume to it. Notes true.
Now, what would, if you were explaining to another guitar player what bluegrass is about, can you kind of demonstrate, look, this is the bluegrass technique?
Well, I always like Jimmy Martin's rhythm style of guitar playing, as well as Lester Flatt, too. I think Jimmy kind of incorporated a lot of Bill Monroe's mandolin chop into his guitar playing, whereas Lester was more like, and then Jimmy's is more like,
that's the mandolin chop you're talking about.
Yeah, because Bill's chop was more like,
long, she's tall, 6 feet 6 feet from the ground. She's tailor-made. Lord, she ain't no hand-me-down. Hold-a-lay, lady, hold-a-lay.
Yeah, that's a good lick there when you can hit the second string instead of the third on the G run.
What's a bluegrass gospel song that means something to you?
I don't know. There's so many good ones. I like a lot of Jimmy Martin gospel song. I guess I'm kind of partial to Jimmy because I played with him for a while, and right up until he died, actually. And
gospel and bluegrass are kind of connected. Mr. Monroe was a faithful man, yeah. Right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And even Jimmy, he could, you know, he'd have his wild moments, you know, where he'd get a little carried away with the sauce or alcohol. But when it came down to it, I think Jimmy was really a Christian man. And I know he loved Bill Monroe. And
I think of Will the Circle Be Unbroken? Mm-hmm. I mean, is a song about faith and you know, you got to believe somebody's going to heaven, something like that. Is that a song that you ever played?
Yeah, we've done that with Jimmy a lot.
How does that begin?
Oh, let's see.
This is a test.
Yeah, go ahead and kick it off.
Saw the hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away. Will the circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
That's the singing and guitar work of Derek Dillman, who works in the Kokomo furniture business of his father, Dwight Dillman. Dwight could be heard on the banjo, and he owns the Bill Monroe Memorial Music Park and Campground in Bean Blossom, south of Indianapolis, which is home each year to the Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival. The next festival is in mid-June, and the details are at beanblossom.us.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line to let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
We try to get around the region for Indiana Weekend stories, and so the other day I was at a furniture store in Kokomo, not to buy a sectional sofa or something, but to talk to the owner. See, I've been to the Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival south of Indianapolis a few times. The next one is in mid-June. But I did not realize the Bean Blossom Campground is owned by a Kokomo man who once played with the great Bill Monroe.
Yeah, my name's Dwight Dillman. I played the five-string banjo for Bill Monroe back in the 70s, 74, and loved the music, and Bill was a great man. And eventually bought the Bill Monroe Music Park, Bean Blossom, Indiana. We're running that now.
And one of the things that happens that people might be surprised of when they go to the festival for the first time is the fans who come and meet other fans in the parking lot and just start playing.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of all-night jam sessions goes on. They just set up out in the parking lot or their campsites and have a little cookout and pick and have a good time.
Talk about bluegrass music and how it's different from other kinds of music.
Bluegrass is all original, acoustic, non-amplified, banjo, guitar. fiddle, mandolin, bass. It's just original, pure, good American music.
Some people think it comes out of the country, but you had Bill Monroe, I think, was a steel worker up in Northwest Indiana for a time.
Indiana, yeah, he was a steel worker for a while. He's actually from Rosine, Kentucky, but he played Bean Blossom at one time, Southern Indiana, and he fell in love with it and bought the property.
Dwight, how old were you when you played with Mr. Monroe, and what was that like?
I was 18 years old at the time. I was on my way back from Florida. I just stopped in Nashville and called him and asked him if he's looking for a banjo picker. And he said, well, how soon can you be over to audition? I happened to be right there. I said, well, I can be there in about an hour. So I went over, sat in his office. He had me pick a couple tunes. And you want to know how soon I go on the road? I said, well, I got to go home, get some clothes, and come back. Yeah, I think it was all good timing. He just happened to be looking for somebody. And
what was it like being with Bill Monroe's group?
Oh, it was a lot of fun. We had Kenny Baker on the fiddle, Bill on the mandolin, and had three or four different guitar pickers over the time. A lot of them come and went a lot. It was a lot of fun. We traveled everywhere. A lot of weeks we'd play 7 days a week back then. Bill was in his heyday then. We were really busy, played the Opry a lot.
Did you all travel in a bus?
Yeah, he had his old bus back then. They called it the Bluegrass Breakdown. It was always broke down most of the time. If we wasn't in that, we'd go in a van or a station wagon. And that old bus was nice. It was an old Scenic Cruiser.
Do you remember it ever breaking down when you were with the group?
Oh, yeah. It broke down two or three times. Well, I remember one time Bill left me and the bass player with it. He had to go on, and he left his mandolin with us. He told us to watch his mandolin close, but that mandolin sold for $1.2 million here recently.
What was Bill Monroe like? When I met him one time, he was getting up in age, and
he was pretty firm. He didn't talk a lot. A lot of people thought he was stuck up, but he wasn't. He was really kind of a backward-type person. He'd show you how he wanted something done, how he wanted it played, and he expected you to play it that way. He could be a little short with you, but really, deep down, he was a pretty nice guy.
Pretty tough boss, though.
Yeah, he wanted everything done his way. He wanted you to look good, and hat, necktie when you went on the stage.
For somebody who's not been to Bean Blossom, describe what that's like. One time I was there, and they said, well, the band from Russia is not here yet. And I thought, Russia? Bluegrass?
Yeah, we've got had bands from Russia, Japan, the Netherlands.
Is their bluegrass any different from our bluegrass? Or
they try to do it the same way we do it, and the Japanese especially. We had the Bluegrass 45 there 1 year. And they were good and went over big. They tried to imitate the bluegrass musicians from here.
Well, do you still play? Do you still get out?
Yeah, I just jam around a little, pick. If somebody needs help at Bean Blossom, we've had them before their banjo player doesn't show up. Sometimes I'll get up and fill in a little bit.
How about that movie that was out a few years ago, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Yeah, Ralph Stanley, the Man of Constant Sorrow in there. That was great.
That helped bluegrass, didn't it?
Yeah, that shot Ralph Stanley's price up when he plays Bean Blossom, put him on the map.
One time I was at Bean Blossom and I met a family of musicians from, I want to say, they were from the region. They were from Northwest Indiana. It was a dad, his wife, their teenage girl, young boy, and like a family friend or something like that. But they traveled in a bus, and the gentleman told me that sometimes he was often the bus driver, and sometimes he'd be driving along and he'd think of a song while he was driving, and he would actually write a song while he was driving.
Oh, yeah. Bill, he used to do that a lot, too. When you traveled, he'd sit there with his mandolin and make up a song and play it. And he'd say, he'd want us all to get around. He'd say, well, what do you guys think of this?
That's Dwight Dillman, in younger days a banjo player with Bill Monroe's Bluegrass Band and now owner of the park in Bean Blossom, Indiana, that is home to the annual Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival. This year's festival is in mid-June. Look them up at beanblossom.us.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss, right here on Indiana Public Radio.
The long weeks of winter, cold and snow, might be a little easier to bear when you remember the days are now officially getting longer. Spring will be here eventually. Thinking about plans for the summer might dull some of the wind chill just a little bit. And one Indiana attraction worth a look, if you like live music at all, is the Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival, about 50 miles south of Indianapolis. Details are at beanblossom.us on the internet. The bluegrass name and style were invented by Bill Monroe, a Kentucky native who worked for a time as a steel worker in Gary. He traveled the country with his music, but bought the park in Bean Blossom after playing there. Monroe has since passed on, and the park is now owned by Dwight Dillman of Kokomo, who once toured with the Monroe Band as a banjo player and now runs a furniture business with his son Derek, who plays guitar and also once performed with Bill Monroe. I visited with them recently in Kokomo and got them to play a short tune.
Did you all around the house? Did you sit around the kitchen table playing?
Oh, yeah, all the time. Played all night a lot of times. Gonna pick a little instrumental. You want to try one?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Tell me what you're going to play. Talk about it.
Oh, I don't care.
And why you like it. Why don't y'all play something else? What do you...
Lonesome Road Blues. That's a good one.
What's it called?
Lonesome Road Blues. Mistakes in for free.
What's that?
Mistakes are free. Yeah.
Has bluegrass changed in the past 20 years?
Well, there's probably a few more girls singing and playing, and they're becoming a little more popular, and their pickings getting a little bit better. Sierra Hole, she's an excellent mandolin player, and she'll just blow you away. And Rhonda Vincent's a real good singer, and
do you think that people ever go to a bluegrass festival and get converted? In other words, walk in, they go with some friends, and they go, I've never heard this before.
Yeah, I've been down to the park at Bean Blossom myself several times, and I've taken people there that are taking people that's never been to a bluegrass show in their life, and they've thoroughly enjoyed it, and they have got a whole new attitude towards the music now because of it.
Can you think back to a time that happened and tell me that story?
Yeah, I've got a good friend. I won't mention his name on radio, but anyway, he had been into rock and roll music, you know, all his life, and rap music and stuff. And he had a mutual friend of ours that had taken him to the Bill Monroe Park in Bean Blossom. And after that, he got himself a different guitar and started trying to play bluegrass, and after a few years was really into it, and it totally changed his life.
You played with Bill Monroe once?
Yeah, it was down at the Bell Cove. It was like a lounge in Nashville. I was about 14 years old, and I think I was down there cutting a CD or something, and my dad had known that Bill would like to hang out there as kind of one of his hangout spots whenever he was off the road sometimes, so we went out, and I felt kind of awkward. I had my white cowboy hat, but I had on a pair of shorts and a short sleeve polo shirt and sneaker tennis shoes. And Bill said, well, I guess it'd be okay as long as I got my white cowboy hat on. So I grabbed my white cowboy hat, got up, and we'd done Fireball Mail instrumental song. And about, towards the end of my break, I guess, when I was finishing up, Bill, it was really cool. Bill came over and kind of act like he's elbowing me out of the way, and then he took his break and had his mandolin up in the air under the mic, you know, like he used to do, and that was really neat. I was kind of caught off guard, you know, he elbowed me. I didn't know what to think, and then after talking to people, I guess that's just kind of the way he was, his demeanor and everything. He was really into boxing and competitiveness and stuff, and he wasn't going to let this little young pup show him up on stage, more or less, even though he was getting up in years. So it was pretty funny.
So you were playing on stage from a very early age. What was that like?
Well, at first it was kind of awkward, and it could be embarrassing sometimes, and everybody gets stage fright, I guess. But the more and more you do it, then the easier it becomes. I didn't like to sing at first at all, and when I was playing with Jimmy Martin, he would tell everybody that I had a good baritone singing voice on the harmonies and stuff, and boy, that sure meant a lot coming from him, especially because he was one of my heroes. And after he told me that I had a pretty baritone singing voice, I really got into singing more, and I wasn't as bashful on stage with singing. And one of the things Jimmy always told me was, when you're up there, just belt it out, and don't be afraid. That just shows confidence, and it carries across to the audience.
What do you think you learned from that experience, maybe that other kids your age didn't understand?
Yeah, I think confidence is one of the main things that that's important to learn, and just have confidence in yourself and anything you do, and don't be afraid to take chances, like singing and playing up on stage. Just get up there and do your thing, and if you're good, you're good, and if you're not, then you might get booed off stage, I guess.
Was there a time when that switch kind of flipped, you were up there and you realized, hey, I'm doing this?
Well, I'd played with Jimmy for a while, and then I went to work with Doyle Lawson for a few weeks. That didn't work out, sorry to say, because I love Doyle as a person, human being, and as a musician. So I went back to work with Jimmy up till Jimmy passed away. And then maybe a year or two later, I got a job with Marty Raybon in Full Circle. And I was probably about 24 at the time. And it was just, after I played a few shows with him, I think it was just part of, maturity level and whatnot. And it felt really, really good.
That's Derek Dillman, who helps out on the Bean Blossom Bluegrass Festival in Southern Indiana with his father, Dwight, talking about what it was like stepping onto the stage to perform at age 14. Bean Blossom is a favorite stop for many bluegrass fans. This year's festival is in mid-June. You can get all the details online at beanblossom.us. That's our show for today. I'm John Strauss. Big thanks to our producer, Marcus Jackman. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com. If you would like more information or just to say hi, reminder, we also need your stories, your ideas for places we should go and people we should talk to. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio, I'm John Strauss.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss of the Ball State Journalism Department. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Marcus Jackman. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture, Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.